Every one of us has this thing that's built into us that we want to influence eternity. We want to influence something bigger than ourselves. We want to know that who we are, what we do, will outlive our time. We want to leave a legacy. It's just the way God has made us. Even people who don't know God, who have no desire to serve Him, want to leave a footprint that goes beyond their own personal existence, their own personal history. What we have is truly the power to influence forever. And the question that we're going to talk about today is, how well are we doing with our ability, the power that God's given us to influence eternity, this uncommon power? We've talked about the power to heal and restore. We've talked about the power to defeat evil, power to tough it out, power to live right. And so today we get to that power to influence eternity. We're going to go to a couple of passages to begin with today that are very familiar. We started out what we are doing as we've talked about this uncommon power. We started out with these two passages. The first one, it's Matthew 28, 18 through 20. You know, it is the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus said. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, which is the governing verb in all of this, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. First passage. Go to the next one, John. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In those two passages, two different renditions of the Great Commission, we see it correctly positioned that this whole idea of the power that was going to come upon us, be within us, come from out of us, had the purpose of growing the kingdom of God. And all the things that we've talked about, when we've talked about the power of God that we have to heal, the power of God to live right, the power of God to do all these things that we've discussed, it always has the purpose of influencing eternity and growing the kingdom of God. It's never just for our own amusement. The one thing is, we've talked about this uncommon power, we've talked about the power of the Holy Spirit, is that it is not something that you or I possess. I've just got to keep going back. This is not something we get to pull out like a wallet or a phone or a set of keys that we get to use whenever we want to, however we want to. This is the power of the living God who is around us, in us, has us in its grip, and then lives within us as well. It is not a thing to be used or played with or selfishly distributed. It's not the way that it works. It's God's purpose to build His kingdom. We're going to find out some things about how this power works today, especially where it comes to influencing more than just our lives. In fact, far into the future. So John, next passage. First thing we'll look at this morning is in 2 Corinthians 5:20, when Paul wrote to this church in Corinth, and he said, very simply, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us." And then he says, "We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God." He was functioning as an ambassador. When he says, "we are," he was talking about those who were with him in that day. But the reality is, it's also us. We are Christ's ambassadors. So let me ask you the simple question. What is an ambassador? What does an ambassador do? Speaks on the behalf of others, and most of the time, those others that he speaks on behalf of are who? Kings, presidents, nations. Okay? We have an ambassador to China that represents the United States of America and interacts with them and talks with them about things that are of interest to us, about what's going on in their country. And if they have a question, they can go to our ambassador and ask, or they may want to preempt and go talk to our ambassador when something's up. That's the idea, right? Anything else you can think of that an ambassador does, okay? Have to be representative of those people or that government, okay? Okay, yes, yes. Deal with the conflicts. Can I just decide, hey, I want to be the ambassador to Uzbekistan. I think I'll go today. Does that work? Why? What has to happen for me to be the ambassador to Uzbekistan? I better speak Uzbeki, right? Okay. Well, the reality is somebody's got to appoint me, and then I have to be approved, and then I have to be sent, right? Okay. Guess what? We have been selected. We have been empowered. We have been given authority, and we have been sent. We are those people who were sent out to the world. The nation that we are a part of is the kingdom of God. And we are the ambassadors to everywhere that's not the kingdom of God. And anyone who is not the kingdom of God. So what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be doing... I know we don't think about this a lot. We don't like to, but we're supposed to smooth out conflict. What is it that we're supposed to be telling people? What is, as the ambassadors of the kingdom of God to the world, what's our message? Okay, the gospel, the good news. Tell me about it. Which is what? We can be reconciled to God. Peace on earth. If we are all honest, and this is the problem, is that we've got to be a mirror to the world to help them see themselves honestly. Even if they don't want to. Now, it starts with us being honest too, right? And not hiding things and acting like, oh, we got it all together. Okay? That we haven't been broken too. But what we need to do is we need to make sure that we are a clearer mirror so that the world sees, okay, God is holy, and if we're all honest, we're not. We're broken. We need forgiveness. We need reconciliation with other people. We need it. It's possible. God's made a way. You and I know both. There's nothing you or I can do to earn it or be good enough to feel good about it. It doesn't work that way. So we have this message of reconciliation. People need to know, no matter how miserable they are, that there is a way that they can have some relief from the misery. Somehow, we have to make sure that the message that we share as ambassadors meets the need that people feel who need to be connected to. Yes, God says, I am holy, and I have a certain way that I want you to live because it's best for you, and I've revealed that to you. But He also doesn't say, okay, guys, figure it out how you're going to do it. See you later if you get it right. Because He knows we can't. So in Christ, the bridge was built so that there is forgiveness for our sin, for the fact that we can't measure up to that standard. There is mercy. There is help. There's encouragement. There's love. I don't know many people who don't want those things in their lives. Do you? We're the ambassadors. We have this message. We talk about how God has done something through Jesus to make it possible for people to have a different future and a different eternity. That's you and me. All right. Well, the messenger gets shot sometimes too. But, and that is part of the deal, okay? That is part of the deal. Whenever you represent a nation, if something happens and that nation doesn't like what your nation's doing, somebody's caught in a crossfire, okay? And we're told it's going to be that way. So, if we get to live one of those lives where we don't have to, then that's just a blessing. But then when we do, we live through that, we understand it. It is part of what we are told we're going to experience. Don't be surprised. Where does, I'm not sure what the best word is, because it's more than emotion. It's more than motivation. What is it that causes us to have the desire to implore somebody to be reconciled to God? It is. It can be. But I don't even think that's enough. I think it's something even more. Say it again, Pat. Our own experiences with God is what Pat said. Okay. I do agree with you on that, but I'm going to add something that you're going to think sounds exactly contrary to that. Okay? That's okay. I think that part of what gives us whatever that is that causes us to implore has to do with us really coming to grips with what it meant to be spiritually dead. Then when we remember what it really was like to be spiritually dead, that then causes us to understand. It's walking a mile in somebody else's moccasins and remembering what that's like. Remembering what life was like before, when you had no resources with which to combat any temptation or to defeat any sin or to make any kind of decent decision before, when you were just dead on the inside. That's what I believe, because we know grace that's filled up that spot. And we know that God's done that through Jesus. And because we have experienced that, like Pat said, now we are in a situation where we have this, we want these people to know that too. You don't have to walk around dead anymore. And sometimes it is not I agree, Anthony. Sometimes it's not a point in time with one person. Sometimes it is the investment, the prayer, the discussions of several people, multiple people over the course of time. You know, it's not always that one point somebody spoke with me, had a conversation, and at the end of that conversation, I knew that I needed Jesus. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's not. God's creative that way. But we are His ambassadors, and we need to remember what it means to be an ambassador. Let's look at the next passage. Here in a preceding letter to the Corinthians, Paul said this: "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The message of the cross is the power of God. So, I think we've kind of talked about it, but I'm going to let you clarify it for me. Is the power in us, or is the power also the message that we share? Because yes, the power has us, the power is in us, but then we got this other thing, the message that we've talked about. Power in it too? We do need to continue to pray for Danny. Okay? That he get everything God's got for him in that place and that time. Now, he not miss anything. Got his attention, and he's using it. We need to pray that'll take firm hold. Yes, and it is not always a receptive or welcoming kingdom. It is an adversarial kingdom we are being sent out into. I think that is very clear. Yes, he's representing. Right, right. As you position that, I'll tell you what came to my thoughts whenever you said that was Jesus' parable of the owner of the vineyard who sent the ambassadors, and then sent his son. I don't know why, but just that just came across my thoughts. And how did he get treated? Who did he go to? And how did that go? So there's power in the message, because it is that message that carries what God has done. Now, the thing that validates the message of the cross is the resurrection, right? Because without a resurrection, the cross would have no power. But because there was a resurrection, the cross has power. And that means that there really is forgiveness. That means there really is all the stuff that we're talking about, and it's not just some nice story somewhere. The creepy religion stuff is what scares people. When they see power, they like power. People will follow power. Anything that acts to be like power, they like, because it's real and it works. They want what works. But the creepy religion stuff just freaks people out. That make sense? It's not the message we have. Now let's talk about the next one. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Now, do we live this way? And why or why not? Do we live like the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk? Or do we live like the kingdom of God is a matter of talk? The word became, is the message just a story? As ambassadors of this kingdom, you and I have been changed, right? So we are the hands and the feet of Jesus. So when we go, we are the message, we have the message. Message has us. If the message has us, that's where we get the desire to implore people to know what we know and experience what we've experienced. It is the power to change forever. We act like it's something we get a choice to do, and it's the power to change forever that has us. Like the old kid's joke, you got Prince Albert in a can, let him out. What we need to do is just let him out. If he has us, let him out. It's not a matter of talk, but of power. There is power in a life that's changed. You see, I could tell the story of Jesus till the cows come home, and there's truth in it, and there is power in it. But what people really want to see is what Gandhi really wanted to see, which was a different life. He liked the story. He liked Jesus. He didn't see people change that were around him. And that is a sad thing. People want to see people change. Not perfect, but change. So that we are honest about our weaknesses and our failures, and we know how to deal with them, and we show people how to deal with them. We walk with them through those times because we know it's hard, because we've been there. Some of us may still be there. But we're trying to change eternity. We're not just trying to get somebody to pray a prayer. Do you understand the difference? Getting somebody to pray a prayer makes us feel good because we feel like we did what we're supposed to. But seeing eternity change means a life changes, which changes another life and moves forward into forever. That's a whole lot more labor intensive, and it takes the power of God. Next passage, John. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. the power has us. What's the difference in preaching Jesus or preaching ourselves? If we preached more Jesus in our nation, the people who claim His name, who do what we're doing right now, we're gathering together to worship. If we preached more Jesus, church in America would look different. Instead, what are we preaching? Because I contend that what we're all this other stuff that we're preaching in Jesus. Do not misunderstand what I'm about to say, because there's a lot of different ways you can go with this. Okay? We want more people to be changed by Jesus, by this power that has us, and the truth about who He is. We want that desperately. We don't want that limited in any way, shape, or form. But we also are not just about gathering a crowd to gather a crowd. We're also not about entertainment. Because to entertain people doesn't change a life. It may help them receive a message. Maybe it will. That's great. But the problem is, after a while, the drive to entertain has you, and you forget the other. It becomes secondary. Does this make sense? Because it becomes more important that we keep our TV show on TV. Because it's a good thing. Does that make sense? Because we're Christians. And our message needs to get out there because maybe that's not what God wants for you to do. But because we're in the American culture, we begin to believe things and are motivated to do things that sometimes have nothing to do with God or God's kingdom. You understand what I'm saying? The good news is we don't have any TV cameras. I like that. I don't know about y'all. Also, what happens here in this point in time is unique to any. I do not have the authority to tell anybody else how to do church. I can't tell some other people how to go replicate anything. I'm not smart enough to know what God's doing amongst them. But I know right now, right here, this place, with you and who God brings to us, I know that at this point in time, today, right here, right now, that God is with us and is speaking to us and wants to do that. I know that. And for me to have the audacity to think that I can ask somebody for money to replicate some three-step way to get people into their doors, I think, is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Servants. Why do we struggle with this so much in this nation? All right, let's go to the last one. Again, in 2 Corinthians, that second letter that Paul wrote, said, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." So how do we fight or go about fighting spiritual battles that change eternity? I want you to think about that. And what are the weapons that we have at our disposal to do this confronting? Okay? Truth is the word. Word is truth. Everything else, and this is the only... So the sword, okay, the sword is the word. double-edged. Okay? Can't forget, it's double-edged, that it cuts us just like it cuts our enemy. Okay? Like Anthony said, Ephesians 6, everything else is defensive. Helmet of faith. Helmet of salvation, shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness. Okay? You know the pieces. Okay? Those things are a part of what has been done to us that happened when Jesus Christ died on the cross and whenever we acquiesced and acknowledged His Lordship. We have these things to fight these spiritual battles. This is, again, something that we could not gin up in our own energy. We could not manufacture. We could not create. These are things given to us by God's Spirit. Their strength is as strong as His Spirit, not our effort. That makes sense. Because they're God-given. Are we using them? This is an uncommon power we have. And we've talked about the fact that we are sent into enemy territory, into an enemy, to represent the kingdom of God to an adversarial land. Are we going in prepared or are we going in unprepared? And ambassadors are all about building relationships, right? Jason said, privatized Christianity is a curse, basically. Okay? David Platt. David Platt, will give David Platt his credit. Okay? The Christian speaker. Pastor? Probably so. There you go. But I wouldn't know because I don't do that thing. I think for us that's correct. For us that's correct. Yeah. Well, He inhabits the praises of His people. That's biblical. We know that. Okay. Right. And that's something that is at work in us. The issue is on the other end. You know, that's sort of a mystery to us. It's funny, isn't it? How even though we were on the other side, we forget how God did that stuff sometimes on the other side that got us to over here. None of us need to go wallow. I mean, I don't like to hear people share testimonies about wallowing in their past. Okay, you know, that's not great either. You know, where that kind of gets glamorized. You know, I was in the gutter. You know, and whenever people have those stories, we need to hear the stories, but we don't need to glamorize the ugly part. Does that make sense? We need to glamorize the Christ part, but we need to anyway. I think that's important. All right. Do you really believe that you make a difference forever? And that the people you touch make a difference forever? The next time you wonder if you do, think about a guy named Mordecai Ham. Okay? Do you know who Mordecai Ham is or was? Okay? He was a revival preacher in the South, mostly in the North Carolina, South Carolina, you know, Virginia area, back probably in the 1930s, I believe, is the time when he was doing his thing. Okay? The reason that Mordecai Ham is so important is because a young raw-boned kid jumped in the back of a pickup truck to go to a Mordecai Ham revival. And when he got there, he heard the word, and yes, that was the time and point that God got his attention and set him on a different trajectory for eternity. And it just so happens that young man's name was Billy Graham. You don't ever know. You just don't ever know. Eternity's a big thing. And one person's eternity can change a lot of a person's eternity, which changes eternity. But we need the power of God to do it. It's got to have us. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us, for forgiving us, for sending your Son to die for us on the cross, for resurrecting him on the third day, letting him take up his life just as he said he would, so that we know there really is a power that's at work. That's at work in us and is at work in building your kingdom. And Lord, I pray today that each one of us, as we go through the week, will consider ways that you are positioning us to change eternity. Lord, as we build relationships with people, as we speak words of life to people who need it desperately, Lord, I'm praying that you'll inhabit every single part and that you'll empower and use your power in your word, in your truth, in the message, and in us as we embody the person of Jesus. Let it all communicate that you are a great God, worthy of being served and loved. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.